right. Are we ready? Are we on? Oh, fuck. Look at that. All right. Good morning, everybody. It is just after 6 o'clock. This is live and it is Friday and it is light outside. Leanne Moll and I came in at the same time. She parked her car, walked over to her and said, "Isn't it nice that it's light?" She went, "Yes."
Feels like December time.
It does, huh?
Very good.
How are you?
Good. Yeah. Survived the week.
Huh?
Didn't survive so much yesterday. You know, sometimes you have a day.
What happened?
I just woke up nauseous. And then it kind of went away and then it came back and then I wasn't able to work. Then I kind of worked and then I took work calls. Trying to be horizontal, vertical and horizontal all day.
Did it wear you down?
It wore me down. I'm pretty tired today.
Yeah, it can wear you down. That's what happens. All right. I don't see any lack of action in the comments section. Yes, everybody's back. Chairman of the comments section is Ruth, of course, Rebellious Ruth. She's in there leading the charge. I also see Bitcoin Butt. Bitcoin Butt sent me a video this morning. Taylor Swift's new album's out. Everybody's very, very excited.
Lots of differing opinions.
Well, I'll save mine to the end, but there is a lot of noise about this album. Mm. Somebody I know and respect, well, I respected him until this week, said he watched that documentary on Taylor Swift, and he says what a genius she is, a marketing genius. She's a really smart person, according to him. And
he's no longer your friend.
Well, yeah, he's a Swiftie. And we were talking about Flex. It is true that James was a Swift. He was a Swiftie once. Yeah, he was. It's true, though. James, he was a Swiftie. I know that's true. But he said he claims he isn't anymore. I don't know.
I think once you're a Swiftie, you're always a Swiftie.
Yeah. I mean, I posted a video where people said the new Taylor Swift album is like porridge and like, you know, all those beige foods.
Yes.
You know those ones? And then obviously some people were like, haters gonna hate. I was like, I really don't care. I haven't listened to it. I haven't watched any of it. I'm just like, I know Taylor Swift is a genius at getting really stupid, very impressionable, groupthink teenage girls excited.
And beyond.
And beyond, because
the moms too.
Yeah, because there are a lot of sad,
Gareth, you're going to upset
unimpressive,
so many people.
No, unimpressive women in the world who are, like, Taylor Swift's their hero because she seems like she's got her shit together. But they don't know whether they like this situation she's in now that she's getting married and...
Mm.
You know, because they preferred her when she was like the Slay Queen single girl.
Yeah, you're not allowed to grow up sometimes.
And I mean, she's in her like mid-30s.
I don't know.
So we all have to grow up. And I've just got to say, I don't think there's a massive overlap between the people who watch our show and Swifties.
Mm.
But just in case there are. You can't get cross with someone for growing up. You can't get cross with someone because they're not the person that they were when you met them 20 years ago.
But it happens all the time. Look at Britney. Look at Cyrus.
Look at Britney.
I don't know if those accounts are real.
You think it might be AI?
I don't know. It's weird.
Anyway, so here's this. You're allowed to say retarded again, hey? Because for a while we weren't allowed to say it. Oh, I got so much feedback last week. Loads of emails, social media interactions about the, the inbreeding thing that we discussed.
Oh, yes.
In the Pakistani community in England. And people were very upset about that. Like, you can't say retard and you can't say that about Pakistan. You're racist. And it's like, I feel like nobody cares about those words anymore. You know, there was a point, like, I think it reached peak power in 2019, 2020. And then I just think everybody in the last year or so has just decided I don't care what you think.
Mm.
You know, if you're allowed to say whatever's on your mind, or at least you're more free to say it now than probably in about 10 years, which is good.
Did it not start happening when Trump mocked someone?
No, that was actually... So it was in his first term at some rally. He went, ugh.
Yeah.
And a whole lot of people got upset. Of course, none of the people who got upset were actually retarded, because the retarded people aren't watching political rallies with Donald Trump. And if they are, they'd be like, why is he doing an impersonation of me? And I think that was before, like, we had peak woke.
Mm.
And people got upset by it, because it was also convenient to, like, there was this performative outrage cycle that everybody went through. But I really think it's done now. When someone does that, I mean, just this week. So let's talk about this for a second.
Yeah.
An amazing, probably groundbreaking peace treaty has been negotiated between Israel, Hamas, the larger Middle East region with all the important countries, Saudi Arabia, the UAE. Even Iran has chipped in and said they are in favor of it. Qatar, Jordan, Egypt.
What brings you to the decision to stop warring?
Well, Donald Trump doesn't like war. He's probably the only president who actually says that and then does something about it. He's trying his best to get the Russians and Ukrainians to the table, but that, I think, is somehow more complicated. We've always thought the Middle East was the most complicated, right?
Mm.
And I think people in the Middle East are just sick of just hundreds, it feels like hundreds of years of nonstop conflict, aggression, crisis. And, you know, it was only 2 years ago that October the 7th happened.
Mm.
And what was, you know, there were a bunch of people in the comments this week as well saying, oh, this is not, it's not a peace treaty, it's already failed. But those are the same people who were like pro-Palestine and, you know, the genocide in Gaza needs to be stopped. And they're suddenly very quiet now. And if they're not quiet, then they're already hoping this peace treaty doesn't work. So what do you guys really want? If you're one of those people who was complaining about the genocide in Gaza, don't you want an end to the war? Because that's what Donald Trump has made happen. He deserves the Nobel Peace Prize for this. I can't think of anyone else alive right now who deserves the Nobel Peace Prize more. Can you? Mm. And I know people hate him, but can you?
Oh, there's no one else really committing huge acts of creating peace, really.
It's just him. And he has devoted an enormous amount of time and energy and effort. He did in his first term with the Abraham Accords. Now he's doing this. It could be a historic peace. And it needed to be a peace after Hamas was totally leveled, because they're a terrorist organization that has done nothing for the people of Gaza except use them as human shields and targets for a relentless bombing campaign where Israel did everything in its power, like no military before, to try to limit civilian casualties and had to wipe out Hamas. It was an existential threat to their country. But those people who were very vocal, including all these idiots who were arrested with Greta Thunberg on the flotilla, I saw Mandla Mandela and a lot of other people, who we had to pay for, by the way. They deny it, but we had to pay for them to fly back here to South Africa from Jordan, where they were expelled by the Israelis. If you've got a boat of ne'er-do-wells, and I'm being kind, let's just say like a bunch of grifters, all wearing kefirs because it makes them feel like they're doing something, and they're off the coast looking for attention, and you arrest them because they're off the coast looking for attention and getting close to what is a war zone, an active war zone, you arrest them and then you put them in probably the best accommodation they've been in for like 6 weeks because they were on this stupid flotilla, which is like a bunch of really horrible boats, dirty, smelling of diesel.
Oh, they're not, these aren't cruise ships.
No, these are not cruise ships. and then you put them in the best accommodation they've been in for a couple of weeks. And you know, they feel like they're imprisoned and they're freedom fighters. And it's all like, yay, I'm performing this role. And then just to ruin all your fun, Donald Trump gets this peace treaty done. And now you're suddenly no use
redundant
anymore. Yeah, and all those people who were making a big noise protesting across the cities of the West saying, you know, we're here for Gaza, we're here for the Palestinian people, the rest of it. I don't know why they aren't celebrating Donald Trump. Surely by him bringing an end to the war, he's helping your cause? It just makes me think that maybe you didn't care about peace at all. Maybe you didn't care about war or genocide at all, if that's what you called it. Maybe you were actually just attention-seeking and this whole situation was just useful to you. I mean, Greta is being nominated for the Peace Prize. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, the Babylon Bee says so anyway, and they should know. Have you got that picture? Greta, here, take a look. I think it's just perfect. I mean, who else, Leanne? Who else? But I do like this. Someone sent me a video this week. AI is so superb. So someone sent a video this week of Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin and a bunch of other people. Netanyahu's in there and some others. And they've taken We Are the World and they've made the world leaders sing it.
Oh, yes.
Only AI could do this. I mean, you get the best impersonators in the world. You dress them up. You can get them prosthetics and wardrobe and makeup. And you can do it in a studio the way the old school kind of
Saturday
Night Live.
And it costs
Saturday
a lot of
Night
money
Live.
To do that.
Or you can just put it into Grok and this is what comes up. Take a look.
There comes a time when we heed a certain call, when the world must come together as one. A day and all people dying, oh, it's time to lend a hand to life, the greatest gift of all. We can go on pretending day by day that someone somewhere will soon make a change. We are all a part of God's great big family, and the truth, you know, love is all we need. We are the world, we are the children, we are the ones who make a brighter day, so let's start giving. There's a choice we're making, we're saving our own lives. It's true, we'll make a better day, just you and me.
Well, send them your heart, so they know that someone cares. And the lives will be stronger and free.
As God has shown us, by turning stone to bread,
and so we all must lend a helping hand. We are the world, we are the children,
we are the ones who make a brighter day, so let's start giving. There's a choice we're making, we're saving our own lives.
It's true, we make a better day, just you and me.
Way down and out, and there seems no hope at all. But if you just believe, there's no way we can fall.
Well, 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 let's realize, oh, that a change can only come when we
stand together as one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We are the world.
I haven't seen that.
I think it's a real, it was a mean move by whoever made that movie to put Javier Milei in from Argentina and make him all out of tune.
He was the only one who was off key.
everyone else sang properly.
But you know what? None of those gave me the ick.
Just Trump.
Except for Trump. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, you see, it's a relentless media campaign of probably 15 years that's been telling you he's the worst human being in the world.
Oh, no. I could know nothing about that man. I could know nothing about him.
You just find him absolutely off-putting.
Yes.
Okay.
Ever since before he was president.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you never watch The Apprentice?
Yes, I did.
And you
did. And he
like
gave
him.
Me the ick then, too. And I knew, I really didn't know who he was at that point.
Well, do we have a show for you today? We've got Ryan popping in. Remember our old producer,
yes,
Ryan?
Yes, of course.
He's been in Ireland.
Yes.
And he's back here for a friend of his wedding. He's going to MC. And so he's come back to resume his duties there. Nice. And he's going to pop in and join the show a little bit later on. RX Head says, genuine question here. Is this show now a recap of the past week? This show used to be on the cutting edge of news. Now you're refreshing old news. Well, RX Head, let's give you a moment to find another show to watch.
But also, no, we're only seeing each other once a week.
We're seeing each other once a week. By the way, the numbers are in and we're doing much, much better now. It turns out scarcity is a commodity, right? Turns out that the less of these things you do, the more people will watch them. So thank you. Even the most lazy and shiftless of our audience, people like RX Head, for example, you can even manage like 3 hours a week. It was impossible. How did I expect anyone to do like 15 hours a week?
It's a lot of their time.
How did I expect myself to do it? What a stupid move. I was thinking this morning, driving in. I look forward to it now. It's great. Anyway, no, it is not a recap of a previous week. They could have added Zuma into that video, says Dumisani. Yeah, I noticed that they left Cyril out because he's completely uninteresting and unimportant in the world. That video is super old, more like a recap of the year. Well, I only saw it this week, so
I haven't seen it before.
Unless you guys would like me to go through everything that we're going to do on the show with you the day before.
Yeah, we can have an overview.
We can have an approval process,
yes.
Right. Okay, very good. One thing we don't have this week, speaking of recaps, is we don't have any Sylvia for you. We don't have any of the psychic Sylvia, who I actually had a suspicion was such a powerful psychic in her time. She died in 2013, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have a suspicion she was such a powerful psychic that she has somehow from the grave been communicating through us to reestablish her name.
Oh, you think it was meant to be that you found her clips and then...
We're being used as tools of the great psychic Sylvia Brown.
Well, it's probably the only way that she's getting any coverage these days.
I don't know that I think we're the only people who've spoken about her in ages. But yeah, there we go. So Sylvia Brown's still around in 2025.
No, she's dead.
No. What happened? Brown.
Yeah, bus.
All right. I look forward to Friday, says Sharon. Okay, great. The only problem is 8 to 9 a.m. That's shower time at the gym. I always miss the last hour. Sad face, says Carl. Okay, well, you know what's nice is that the show's still there. It's online. You can listen to it and watch it anytime you like. And I think you've figured that out, Carl. I'm going to assume that you know that already. I mean, you're not an idiot. And then I do see Slippery Pickle saying, Gareth looks like he's surpassing SABC ratings. So what you got to understand here, guys, is that There are people watching us live on YouTube. Then there are the people who watch it afterwards, which is much, much more than the people who join in live. I love the live people. That's why we love doing the show live. But there's actually a bigger audience afterwards who watch it when they want to, like Carl, for example, because he's too busy showering at the gym. And then you get people who are only listening to the audio, which I'm happy to say is still, I think, much bigger than even the viewing audience. So, you know, there's a lot of things that we have to consider here. There's a lot of things, Leanne, to give you the ick. There's a lot of people, a lot of things, tremendous things, great things. It's historic. He was saying this week with his peace process thing in the Middle East. He's like, some people are saying it's going to be for 3,000 years.
3,000 like, years.
3,000 years.
Some people. Yeah. Who were those people did they do their calculations?
It's always a lot of people, and he never tells you who. A lot of people. Apparently, Sylvia predicted the coronavirus, says Melissa.
Look, I mean, if you're a psychic, you need to predict at least one big outbreak because they're never going to stop.
It's going to happen, yeah. Like, imagine the people in, like, 1300. There's a terrible pandemic coming. Oh, you must be a prophet. Speaking of prophets, and I do think this is funny, again, picking up from something. I don't want to upset Arik's head, but it is something we discussed last week, is the psychic. No, sorry, not psychic, prophet.
Yes.
What do they call these people? You know, these guys who start up their own church and, you know, the doom and the eating the grass and the and there are a lot of credulous fools out there who want to join these churches because then they feel like they've got a direct line to God and they're with the cool, interesting pastor of the week or whatever. And there was this guy, Pastor Joshua Mhlakela. He's the one who predicted the rapture. Do you remember we spoke about this?
Talking about virility, that went far and wide.
Yeah, so it went all over the world. There were Americans who quit their jobs.
Sold their cars,
spent all their money, didn't pitch for exams. There were a lot of people who went, oh, okay, well, it must be true.
A lot of people.
So Pastor Joshua Mhlakela now says the rapture was miscalculated.
Oh.
Yeah, due to using the wrong calendar. He says he was using, there he is, that's the guy. I mean, how can you not know that that's a charlatan? I wouldn't buy it. That looks like the guy. There was a guy who came up to me in the parking lot the other day. I was going to go do my grocery shopping. A guy came up to me in the parking lot, just dressed exactly like that. It might even have been him, for all I know. He's like, oh, can I get your number? I've got this business idea I want to pitch to you. And I was like, no. No, I don't want to talk to you. So if I can do that in a parking lot, I have to ask, what's wrong with the people who go to his church? Mm. Anyway, this pastor, Mhlakela, put him back on the screen. You've got to see his face while I tell you this. He says, God revealed to him in a dream that he'd be a vessel for the final message, but he overlooked that Jesus followed the Julian calendar, not the Gregorian one used today, adding the 13-day difference. Mhlakela insists the rapture will actually occur this week, once again urging people to believe his prophecy. So it didn't work the first week. Mm. It's going to work this week. He wants you to know this time this is not a dress rehearsal.
And then I wonder what he's going to say next. Like, does he – and the thing is he can just carry on lying or people will forget about this and he's never ruined his life because they'll forget.
Well, it's like so many other – really terrible ideas and terrible people in the world is they're not. You cannot falsify what they're saying because what they're saying cannot be proven right or wrong
until the date passes.
And then the date passes. And really, what we should do is we should gather up people who've made false predictions. And again, this refers to, you know, Sylvia was never wrong.
No, she was
always
on
right.
The money.
But we should gather up all these people who talk a lot of shit and prophesize things that never occur. And we've got to lock them in a mental facility. And I'm being kind because actually what we should do is what they did in the medieval era. You tie them to the big stone.
Well, they'd
be
witches, wouldn't they?
Yeah, you tie them to the stone in the center of the village. You say, you told us that the rapture was coming. It hasn't happened. There has to be some consequence. You know, it's accountability that we're talking about here.
It could make a village really angry. Here we're talking about the whole world.
I think that there's got to be a cost. You know, just as you would get the credit if it was true. You know, Nostradamus is a famous name today because he got a lot of things
right.
Yeah,
but he's dead.
He's dead. But if you get it wrong, there's got to be a consequence. So I'd like to hear if you have any ideas of what those consequences should be.
Yeah, it has to be something... Something clever that's done.
Yes, agreed.
Like they have to watch a clock for the rest of their lives or something.
That's
all they're allowed to do.
Wow. That could be a horrible punishment, actually. That's a pretty insane, sick, twisted thing.
I'm getting ready to watch Monster, the series.
Gareth, do you think Trump will get the Nobel Prize, says Ruth? Absolutely not. They hate him. I mean, they basically gave Barack Obama the Nobel Prize just for being elected president, you know. Mm-hmm. And remember, he'd been president for like 3 months, and they said, oh, we can't wait to give you a Nobel Prize. And they did. And they've given lots of people Nobel Prizes recently for doing a whole lot less. So I don't think it will happen, but it should. Cyril can't do anything, including singing, says Vyasan. That's why he wasn't in that video. Yes, absolutely. Rx Head really looking for shit with me this morning. 15 hours a week, shame. Normal people do at least 45, footsack. I don't like this aggression first thing in the morning, all right?
But also, is that, does he think that that's all?
Yeah, he thinks that's all I do.
Okay.
I only do this show.
That's cute.
Yeah. So I've never done anything else. So the rest of my day, I just sleep and watch clips and then phone Leanne and groom the dog and take a shit and all the other stuff, you know? I fill my day with that stuff. I have nothing else to do. I have a full morning listening to the show. I have to drop the damn kids every alternate week. See, people have shit to do. Don't complain too much, though, Vyasin, because otherwise Oryk's head will be all over you for what you're doing with your time.
Don't do the same thing that you did last
week. Yeah, exactly. Super Juju says he can bring back the Rapture this weekend, no rugby, so we won't miss out on anything.
Hmm.
True. Yeah, I mean, that's not a bad idea. Slippery Pickle says, I only make predictions in Nostradamus code. Always an even number, right?
Yeah.
Judas says, is it just me or does anyone else read Donald Trump's ex posts, hearing his voice in your head? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I do too. And I can't tell whether it's upsetting or reassuring. Can producer Ryan give us an update on all the illegal immigrants in Ireland? Says Bulletin Daisy. Yeah, we're going to ask him about that. I don't know if he's completely clued up about Irish politics, but it's worth a try. Chris Smith says, every week we have predictions about sports matches and then the same people get paid to explain what factors led to a different result. Well, yeah, this does. It happens in rugby and in cricket.
Well, in business as well. Yeah. You've got to forecast things.
Exactly. Gareth Sylvia is a channeler like Theo and Abraham. And all of us, we share information others don't know. Are you saying that you also have these powers, Lauren?
Self-proclaimed.
If you do, send us some of your predictions and then we'll hold you accountable. We'll ban you from the show forever if you get them wrong. Okay, so let's look at some other stuff that's going on in the news. And by the way, there's lots. We've got Dr. Hanan on a little bit later on. Ben is back from, he did the most incredible trip he said he's ever had in his life, Singapore Grand Prix.
Ah, yes.
He said it was spectacular. So we'll hear all about that. And don't forget, Say Less with Pearl and Tando, which is here and it's brought to you by The Real Network. All the drama, all of the crazy, every Thursday at 3 in the afternoon. Make sure you don't miss that. Isn't that right, James? Yes. By the way, numbers there are through the roof. A lot of people are listening. A lot of people are watching. It's very good. Burger King are in the news this week. Who knew? Burger King are in the news this week because they have something called a mascot, which I suppose it's like a little avatar.
Well, like McDonald's has the clown, right?
Yeah, Ronald McDonald.
Yeah.
So Burger King's got the king, and they've been complaining about it. People have said, a lot of people have said it's terrible because it's creepy. Used between 2004 and 2011, it was scaring away families with young children. Chief Marketing Officer Joel Yashinsky admitted that the character had a limited appeal. Wait till you see this picture. Parents preferred McDonald's more friendly clown.
Yes.
I mean, even after It and all of those.
And people's genuine fears of clowns.
And the horror movies that have made clowns even more insidious and dangerous and awful and terrifying. There was a time where I was pretty afraid of clowns too. With the white faces and the big red nose and the. I don't like them.
I've never been afraid of them.
I've never been a fan of clowns. Anyway, my worst are the mimes, not the clowns. The other ones who do
that. Yes.
I'll show you a box or whatever. Anyway, so here is the Burger King mascot. This is absolutely terrifying. It almost looks like it's drooling. The brand has since shifted towards a warmer, fun-focused approach. This is what they say. You can see marketing and advertising agencies involved here, right? Revamping stores with play areas and launching themed menus like Halloween Monster Menu.
Ooh, careful. To rebuild careful, its family no monsters. Friend.
Well, you see.
The Monster Menu is no monsters.
Yeah, this just shows you. Like, you can have a. Oh.
Oh.
Jesus. Look at the hands, right? That's like
Why?
A.
Yeah, but hold on.
And he's drooling.
There's a Trump thing going on because he's got white hands and an orange face. Yeah, no, he's pretty creepy.
That is, I mean, is that drool?
I don't know if it's shiny, like from the plastic.
And sauce.
Oh, hello, Ben. Is it Thousand Island sauce, Thousand Man sauce? Oh, God. And look at the big medallion, too, right? Isn't that what, like, libs in the South have?
He just looks like he's got a startup course he's about to sell you.
Yeah. Join me, and I'll teach you how to do trading online.
Yeah.
That's exactly buy Bitcoin that with me.
It's like, I don't think you should use a person or a caricature like that. You should be using probably... I don't know. I mean,
that's a pretty awful. And also the ring, that big ring that goes across two fingers. It's, yeah. There's a lot of creepy shit going on there.
No, it's not good. And he looks dusty, like his clothes. I would imagine they stink.
Do you remember those kids in the... There was a girl with yellow hair in a blue dress for cerebral palsy that they used to have at the...
Yes, a little statue.
Yeah, and they'd chain it to...
Oh, yeah.
You remember that chick?
Of course.
Did you ever
see
that?
Always, her paint was always chipping.
Yeah, very badly painted.
She had like black school shoes
and there was
on.
A box that you could put coins in.
Into her head or whatever.
Or in her, I can't remember.
I think she held the box.
She held the box, that's right.
It was
right.
Like in her one good arm and the other arm was like...
Yeah, she had the cerebral palsy and it was to raise money for the people with CP. See if you can find a picture
of that,
James.
But wasn't there a dog as well?
There were a whole lot.
I mean, like if you wanted... icons of your 80s childhood, it was that thing.
Yeah.
I always thought...
Every pick and pair had it.
Well, you see, it's important that kids get conscientized to this shit early because otherwise you think that everyone in the world is fine and your problems are serious. And like if you walk out of the shop after just getting a long-awaited sweet from your mother and then you see the cerebral palsy girl, you're a lot more grateful for your life.
Should be.
You know, and then you maybe drop some money in there. You learn about charity. They don't
and
do that anymore.
And then it changed to just the tins that were chained.
And yeah, the tins, the, it doesn't have the same impact.
Like an animal one and then I think something, a Jewish organization.
There are a bunch, but they're not as – that girl stood right at the entrance of the shop.
She was very demanding.
Yeah, it was the saddest figure I've ever seen. I remember as a child,
yes,
you would see some forlorn kids at school. Nothing beat that statue / coin box.
It could have been a number of other causes too, but I think
like
it was
James,
cerebral palsy.
Do you even know what we're talking
James,
about?
Do you know what not. We mean? I do now that I've seen her. Oh, you've got a picture? Her name is Susie.
Of course, that would
she
be
had
her
a name. And we were encouraged to help as children.
Were you though? My parents didn't say a word about it.
They just ignored it. They just pretended she wasn't there.
They were just hoping I would stick close enough to them so Peter wouldn't take me on a grocery run.
Okay. They used to take you with?
Well, yeah. I mean, what else do you do? Like,
they just leave you at home.
It was a respite from getting beaten up by my brothers in the house. Of course, I went to the weekly
TV,
shop.
I mean,
the cerebral palsy kid wasn't beating me up.
Put the picture up and remind people about this. Nothing like a little nostalgia to start your weekend with. Anyway, I mean, she's better than the Burger King mascot. That's for sure.
But imagine being the person who got the tender or the grant for that. Okay, you must make 7,000 cerebral palsy like collection box childs.
This is why when people talk about corruption now, of course there's huge corruption now. There are just crooks everywhere. And we know our country is, certainly the ANC is just knee-deep. I saw yesterday they went to
yes.
Kat Matlala's place and they
yes.
like repossessed all his Lamborghinis. And
why were they all the same
art,
color?
I mean, his art.
They were all the same blue.
All the same. So they said they took millions, the sheriff or the NPA or whoever seized a whole lot of his stuff.
Well, the cars alone were worth a collective 222 million rand.
Jesus.
Who was this person?
This is one of these crooks from the Tembisa hospital that we spoke about last week.
Yeah.
Anyway, they also repossessed and seized some of his art. Can you imagine the kind of hideous art that someone like that would have in their house? Anyway, this is going on, but the point I wanted to make was that in every government, in every country, there's a little bit of corruption. And I'm pretty sure that the Susie statue tender, there she is. Yeah, but
I remember
okay.
her being blonde.
She was blonde. No, that's an updated one.
There's the box that you put the money in.
Yeah, because her one leg was fucked, so she had that vice thing.
Yes.
There was the sad teddy bear, but she was originally blonde, and she had less of a This one looks quite stylish. Like this, she's
yeah,
she got
that's quite a
go.
Good one. She looks at, she's got an Anna Wintour haircut here.
Yeah, she's got quite a avant-garde frock on the go there.
I don't remember her looking this good.
No, she would
not. I remember her being a lot more forlorn.
James, try find, just type in West Rand Susie 19.
where did I grow up again?
There's probably a worse one in the West Rand.
If you can find the Walter Frieden Park pick and pay Susie, that's where you'll get the real one.
So you had the best trip ever.
Gareth, your life's been very weird the last month. It was. It's... Singapore is great. It really is. The Singapore Grand Prix is probably one of the greatest things you could do as a human being.
Really?
So it's the street circuit, right? Marina Bay, you know, with that three skyscrapers and the boat on top. Mm-hmm. That's the big view, the big eye. And the street race goes around the best parts of Singapore. And it is so huge. There's what, like 90, 100,000 people that go to that. The sound stage alone is like you're going to a major concert. Wow. It is so huge. Saturday night was Foo Fighters was the main act.
Wow.
Sunday, Elton John was the main act. But then as you walk around, there's different other little, like, it's like going to a festival. So there's like well-known DJs playing sets throughout the evening.
So they even scraped one of the old Spice Girls up. And
Mel C.
Mel C
was having a go. Pete Tong was still DJing at the age of 65. Like everywhere you went, there was something that was actually just kind of mind-blowing. And then these cars, like I've seen some decent things in my time. But the sound and the presence of an F1 car like 240 into a hairpin bend that it suddenly gears down into. The sound and the McLaren sound different. They sound like actual Spitfire jets coming in.
Wow.
Every single one of the cars sounds different because they're all tuned slightly differently. Mm. And the sheer presence of all of it. It was just, and because it's at night and it's like that humid tropical climate, it's like your senses are extra invigorated. It's not like you go to Silverstone and you... in a line for like a pie and there's some guy talking about his football team and the weather's shit. No, like this is like a different
sort of... People are day drunk.
Yeah, day drunk. Yeah, they weren't so messy drunk because you sweated out all the time, right?
Mm.
But it was just so incredible. So if you really wanted to be an F1 nerd, great. You got all day. Go earlier and then you watch the GT3 Porsche going around. I think earlier than that, the women might have had a go as well. But it was just absolutely phenomenal.
I can imagine it being so well done.
It's a bit bittersweet. Like, we'll never be able to have things like that close to us. We have to
this
get a
Grand Prix.
This is why
we can't have nice things, Ben.
Yeah, but I've come to realize that there's nice things and then there's really, really nice things. So we can have nice things, but they don't stack up to this. But we have to get an F1 in this country. All the commies will say, but it costs so-and-so billions. It's like, shut up. You need one of these things in your city.
But please. I mean, it sounds like Kat Matlala could have paid for that with just selling his cars.
Yeah. Exactly. You know,
that money already, so...
We've pissed so much money against the wall in this country. We've got to focus on real things. And real things are Formula Ones. Bernie Eccleston and all those guys back in the day, they've created something absolutely beautiful. To see that many people so happy in one day...
Mm.
Yeah, that's cool. You've got to do big, audacious stuff, right?
Have to.
And as a country, we haven't done that for a long time. I think the last project which is still functioning beautifully, and it's probably one of the only things in the last 20 years that we can be proud of, is like the Gautrain, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The World Cup is what I remember
being
the
World
a big
Cup.
Thing. Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Let's say those two. And there might be others that we're just not thinking of at the moment. But
if you think about it this way, right? Singapore started as a financial hub, basically reclaimed the swamp.
It started off as a little fishing village.
Nothing.
And they really had absolutely zero going for them.
But they've got to keep working on stuff. They've got to keep building stuff. And that's the thing with this Formula One, is that it gives them an identity that the world actually gives a shit about.
Yeah.
So we've done nothing other than steal and besmirch whatever name we had. That's what we're known for. So the world doesn't give a toss about us. If you say to someone like, I'm from South Africa right now, in the past, they maybe would have said, Madiba, this, whatever.
Rugby, whatever.
No, they just, like, I met this girl while watching Elton John. And she's asking me a question. And she said, where are you from? I said, I am from South Africa. And she's like, is it safe to walk outside there?
Mm.
That was the first thing she asked me.
Wow.
I thought.
That was the end of your date.
Fuck, this place has become a toilet, huh? I mean, if this is like a key point.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't look like I had just been stabbed. I didn't have a black eye. I didn't walk like Susie, but that girl's first question to me was, can you go outside there? Is it safe?
That's not the
PR
we want.
Maybe she was thinking from her point of view, worst nightmare. But so we've got to do big events, guys. We've got to actually just stop fucking around now.
Yeah.
And a Formula One is the start. Sports, anything that can actually help this country. Anything that actually people give a fuck about when it comes to SA.
Some feedback for you, Ben. First of all, there's Audrey who says, I loved the clip of Ben singing Tiny Dancer.
Guys.
When Elton John's was up on stage singing. Elton John's.
Elton John has great songs, okay? And at the age of 78, whatever the fuck it is, you stand there and it's like, oh my gosh, this is actually happening. One of the greatest musicians of all time.
Yeah, he is.
All time.
He absolutely
He's up there and he's just 2 hours here. It is 30 degrees and humid.
And he's wearing a suit, probably. And
of course he's wearing a suit.
A suit.
But it was so great. And he's belting out these tracks and it's like, this is like the greatest thing to karaoke in your whole life. You've got 40,000 people around you. You've got the skyline of Singapore ahead. Oh, I can understand why people actually live in Singapore just for that week.
Yeah.
Just so you can go to that week. It's that good. It really is.
Look, if you're going to live anywhere in that region, Singapore's the place to be.
Oh, yeah. But you have to have a good job and make a lot of money. I mean, it's like that anywhere in the world.
Yeah, you have to. Look, and there are obviously some sacrifices. You will live basically in an apartment the size of this couch. Mm. There's a couple of drawbacks.
Every single day.
But good for them, man. Jeez, that place doesn't fuck around. They hung, I think, 4 people.
Hung.
Oh, by the way, Homotso just wants to make a correction here. We were saying it was Kat Matlala's house. It was actually Hangwane, who's Cyril's nephew's house. Our president's nephew is the one whose house they correct. Sorry.
I'm sorry. I couldn't remember which corrupt person
we kind of lose track
raiding.
Of who's corrupt. And by the way, this was the week for the ANC to like relaunch the economy. You know, did you see Fikile Mbalula's like 20-point plan to revitalize the economy? Fikile Mbalula, who's also being investigated, by the way, because there are also payments that were made to him for holidays and all kinds of things that he obviously didn't pay for himself. And now these guys want to revitalize the economy. Why? Have you run out of money to steal? That's the only question.
I actually wish that all these people would just be raptured into something, the opposite of what a rapture is. Take them down to the ground because they have stolen lives from us.
Well,
like we're like going to these places, going to these cities and realizing what's around and how much they've stolen from us.
Yeah, because we could have, and for a while we did have the world's attention and we had hope and people. And I don't want to depress anybody. We got Ryan coming in later to depress us about Ireland, producer Ryan. But I mean, it's not depressing. Some things about Ireland are amazing. But I do think... There's quite a lot going on. I went to the post office this week, which I hate doing.
They're still around?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Remember, I sometimes get like,
no, well, this is a package from America that I forgot I'd even ordered, to be perfectly honest. And then I don't like going to the post office. I don't think anyone does, right? I mean, there are some friendly people who've always made it less unpleasant, let's put it that way. But they closed the one post office. Now it's apparently open again. So I went to the wrong one. Then I got there. They don't have change. Then the card machine doesn't work with your phone.
It's just embarrassing.
It's so cuck. And even though the person who's trying to help you is friendly, they seem like a really good human being who's just trying to do their job, right? Yeah. And they're probably being paid a fairly average to below average salary for that. And they're in this dark, dank underbelly of a shitty shopping center which is falling apart. There are just Chinese shops selling absolute shit. And then the post office. And you walk in, I was the only person in there, which is usually something to be pleased about when you go into the post office. But I actually felt like, fuck, is this
in the right place?
Yeah, I mean, like, what goes on here? Is it a place they abduct people in?
Yeah.
Because it felt like that. You know, you got handprints on the walls that haven't been cleaned in months. Posters from like 1998.
Mm. Someone stole the Susie.
Susie's badly missing. Badly typed out signs.
Badly typed out. All of that shit. And I'm like, actually, this post office is representative of what's happened to South Africa in the last couple of years. Like, we used to be... post offices, and again, I'm probably one of the few people who still uses them. I've still got a post box, right? I go there every 8 months with the little key and open it up, and it's always full
pamphlets.
But bullshit, like crap that you just don't get. Traffic fines, marketing materials, you say pamphlets, that sort of stuff.
Brochures.
And like stuff where they've obviously sent, they've put it in every post box.
Yes.
And then there's the stink of piss around the place because some homeless people obviously sleep there at night. Like, this is what, unfortunately, and I don't want to complain on a Friday morning as we're heading into summer. It's beautiful outside. We've got so much to be excited about. But we could be a Singapore.
We could be more.
And remember, Helen Ziller got into huge trouble for saying this, right? She got into massive trouble in X on the day. In fact, I think it's still her most infamous tweet where she said, Singapore also had colonialism. Look at them. And people got extremely unhappy about this, as if she was saying something that wasn't true.
But that's the thing about Stockholm Syndrome, and when you actually burn someone's self-esteem down, they become complete fucking retards. Yes, everything in the past has happened, but the victim mentality, the identity, is now sewn into who these people are. And the self-esteem of that person working in that post office.
So instead of Susie, we now have actual living Susies.
Yeah,
we do.
But it's not only the old and dilapidated stuff that is a wake-up call. Just this, and I know, Ben, you would agree, this road system on Catherine Street in Sandton.
Okay, we complain about this every week too. Careful, guys, because otherwise Oryx Head, who's in the comments, is going to say, what, is this a repeat of last week's show?
Now they've started painting, turning lane signs and things.
You know what this is for?
You know what the lanes look like if you're a driver?
No, it's...
There's turn left, there's go straight, there's turn right, and then straight.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense at all.
Guys, it's Cyril's other nephew did this job,
and
it's all
relative
to impress people at the G20 that we have bus lanes.
Right.
But we don't have any buses, so we have bus lanes that now fuck this entire thing.
Where sometimes you can't turn
right.
Have
you noticed how they pull people over?
Yes.
If you use the bus lane.
But how are you supposed to turn right onto Greyston, yeah.
It's an absolute disaster, and the G20, it's like we should be having real events, not these ass-licking, come look at our city, it's fucked.
Oh, it's so annoying.
It's so fucked. I don't find it funny
ass-licking
anymore.
Okay, we got Hanan, everybody. Stop complaining. Let's get our shit together here. All right, everybody looked like we were talking about something positive and useful. I think that's an excellent idea.
That's the way forward.
And I believe that that's the way for us to really boost the economy and make
onwards
an enormous difference.
And upwards.
Invigoration in every sense.
Yes. Thank you for that. All right, over to Dr. Hanan. Hey, Doc, we didn't know you were there. How's it?
Great.
We're all fine.
That's great. That's great. What a start. That's great.
Did we convince you we were being positive, productive citizens for a second there?
Definitely, 100%.
Okay, good. That's all I needed to hear. So Dr. Hanan, of course, for those people who don't know, he is a renowned psychologist, and he gets very embarrassed when I say this, but he's also the head of the Anxiety and Trauma Clinic in Johannesburg, and he's going to tell us why it's going to be okay. The weekend is upon us, which is always a better feeling than the rest of the week. Summer's here, but apparently, Doc, I don't know if this is true. I saw this the other day. The day most people die or commit suicide is the shortest day of the year, so in the Northern Hemisphere, it's just before Christmas. In the Southern Hemisphere, it's in the middle of June, and apparently it has to do with sunlight. So I don't know whether you're a fan of the literature that says that, you know, sunlight helps with depression, being out in the sun is good for you, the vitamin D, the endorphins, all of that stuff, or whether you think there's more to it. But I did find that interesting, because the only overwhelming evidence that we have of the possible reasons that people might die more or commit suicide more on day X or day Y seems to be around sunlight. Is there any truth to that?
Yeah, there is extensive research to getting sunlight, vitamin D, and your mood. There is a disorder called SAD, seasonal affective disorder, and it's depression, anxiety, mental ill health is heavily linked to the seasons and obviously to the weather and sunlight for sure.
Did they have to call it SAD? that seems like you're just driving that nail in even deeper. All right, so here's a topic that we've got today from somebody. Somebody emailed us and said, there's a counter trend to burnout and hustle culture, where people, especially Gen Z and millennials, are valuing simple, boring, consistent actions to create mental wellness, sometimes called radical stability. You know, with all due respect and love to the millennials and Gen Zs, You guys haven't come up with anything new. These are things that already we like. There used to be boring people who had stability, but they usually
people who worked in the post office.
But they used to be the people who worked in the post office, and they got about their business, took their kids to school, went to their day job, got paid a salary, went on holiday once a year. This is not new. Gen Z and millennials must stop relabeling stuff and claiming it like it's their idea. But is this a thing? Is it a thing for people to, instead of telling you how busy they are and how they're burnt out and work is crazy, they're actually saying, no, everything's fine. It's perfectly stable. It's nice and boring the way I like it.
So if you think about it, there is a counterbalance to a couple of decades of kind of chaos and options and instability. I mean, think about it this way. 30 years ago, if you turn on the TV, watch, you had like three channels and you had to wait. For the Gen Zs and millennials, waiting is not an option, because now these days, if you wanted any channel or any program, you can just click your finger. If you wanted to date someone, you know, 30 years ago, you had to do this thing called go out and interact and engage and connect and talk. And these days you just swipe left and right and you have three dates by the late afternoon. So the waiting and patience and not working hard for what you want is kind of the norm these days. And that, in effect, is what causes ill health. How many times do I talk on the show about moving forward, creating whatever you want, whether your goal is whatever it is, just going out and getting it, taking responsibility for your life. And the opposite, which is kind of lying on the couch and waiting for things to come to you, is the cause of major depression, anxiety, insecurity, frustration, etc. These days, you don't have to work hard for these things. And what has happened is that obviously this crazy chaos, which is not leading the Gen Zs and millennials into feeling good about themselves. If you, the stats are 50% of millennials and Gen Zs can be diagnosed with anxiety and depression. 1 billion people already diagnosed with anxiety and depression worldwide. So things are not getting better. And the counterbalance is order and stability and consistency and predictability. So people are turning more to religion. People are turning more to tradition. People are turning more to a boring lifestyle, which is routined, which is actually making them feel much better. But I suspect that it's not going to last long, because the availability of quick fixes and immediate gratification are so there and so apparent and so available that people are going to struggle to find that consistency and stick to it.
Mm. It is interesting you say religion is making a bit of a comeback. I saw that Gen Z men in particular in America are attending church in record numbers. And, you know, for the longest time, it's been a massive decline on the religious front.
Absolutely.
So people are also looking for that meaning that we talk about so often on this show. And maybe that's not a bad thing. I mean, I'm ambivalent about this, but you need some sort of scaffolding for your values, right? You need to be able to decide what is good and what is bad and what kind of a world you want to create around yourself. And if you end up getting that right, you can expand that influence to a greater realm, and you know, eventually you can really make a difference. But I suppose it starts with what you consider to be valuable, what you want to spend your time doing. And most people have just decided, like consumerism, having things, stuff, buying stuff, and
but also like the kind of person
getting likes is just not enough, right?
But like also the kind of person you actually want to become. At some stage, you want to become something better than who you are, not just some glutton for endorphins, that kind of crap.
Mm. Yeah, what do you think of that, Mark?
So interestingly, a patient of mine this week shared a story with me. Have you ever heard of the two worlds parable?
No.
Anyway, so this elderly wise man gets asked by his grandson, are men good or bad? And he tells the story of the two wolves. And this wise man says, we all have two wolves inside of us.
Oh, yeah.
The one, have you heard of it? So it's like the one that's always jealous, the one that gravitates towards immediate gratification, the one that's violent, the one that wants to win at all costs, the one that doesn't care about other people and the community around them. It's about me, 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 me. Another one that's kind and strong and courageous and brave and knows that everything is going to be okay and is prepared to sacrifice the here and now for the later. And then the child asked, well, which of the wolves actually survive? And the old man says, well, the one that's being fed. And that's to your point, whoever you feed, if you're on social media and looking at nonsense, that's the wolf that you feed. If you engage in gossip, that's the wolf that you feed. If you engage in jealousy and always competing with somebody else as opposed to competing with a better version of yourself, well, that's the wolf that you feed, and that's the one that survived. And the opposite is also true. So I encourage people to feed the wolf that's mature and brave and courageous. And by the way, going back to routine and structure, it's boring in inverted commas, but it's healthy. I encourage people to look for things that are predictable, to create structure, to create routine, and within it, you can create the fun. So the foundation needs to be a predictable foundational life, and out of that, you can create chaos. But you can't create chaos as a foundation, and out of that, create order. That doesn't work that way.
Right. The one has to come before the other. So as usual, Dr. Hanan dispensing some wisdom to start the weekend for us. But I do see Bronwyn's comment here, which I think is pretty funny. She reckons, and she summarized it perfectly, Bronwyn has basically put all three of us, Leanne, Ben, and I, into one sentence. She says, the secret to life, according to Ben, exercise. According to Gareth, eat less, run more. According to Leanne, mind your own business. That's it. That's
good. That's good.
That's not bad. That's good. And then Dr. Hanan, all the stuff that you've just said. I like it.
That's fantastic.
All right. You have a good weekend and enjoy the fact that it's, first of all, light and beautiful and sunny outside.
So light. There
was a bit of rain last night.
Not so much sad.
Not so much SAD.
Not so much sad.
Stay away from that. My God. Cheers. Cheers, Dr. Hanan. Nice to see you. We are living in the Panasonic generation, the quest for zero defects, says Dr. Robin.
If we're getting back to routine and religion and tradition, I wonder if there's going to be an upswing in people having children again.
Yeah, it needs to be.
Got to happen, man.
That's what Elon's been saying for so long now. We have to replace.
South Korea. I brought this up while I was talking to someone over the weekend. South Korea, for every 100 people there are right now in South Korea, by 2060, there will only be 4.
Sure.
For every 100 now, there will only be 4. That is a massive population decline. I mean, they've even got – Nina told us about this last week. She was great. She said there's an island called Jeju Island where they actually pay people to go and have sex there.
It's literally,
so they'll have children.
It's literally Pound Town.
Yeah, and the Norwegians, the Danes, the Swedes are also paying their people to go and pound.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe there's an incentive. People have got to have kids. Otherwise, there's not going to be enough of us to keep things going. The
Whoopsie.
Post office, who knows? Guys, the post office might fall apart. This is funny. So somebody says here, that the post office in PE, Patrick, he says this post office in central PE is cash only. The card machine is fucked. And it's a massive building, derelict. People hanging their washing out of the other windows, all that sort of shit.
Yeah. It's always a strange smell.
Now like that Tanun's gone, we can go back to complaining.
Yeah. Fuck, things are awful.
Well, I did see this story, which contributes to the conversation we're already having. But the deputy finance minister, this is someone who's in government, right, has warned South Africa's major cities, except for Cape Town, are in a death spiral. Again, just to add to your positive stuff for the morning. Apparently, we're overspending on salaries while neglecting infrastructure. He said bloated wage bills and poor management have led to worsening services like water and electricity.
But hold on. He said we are overpaying salaries and leading to crumbling infrastructure.
Yes.
That's corruption.
Yes, because we're paying a bunch of people. There are municipal managers who clearly don't do their job. I mean, listen, I would like first and foremost for us to just tidy up around ourselves. That would be the first step. Because if you don't live in order, as Dr. Hanan just said, right, you need order first. if you don't have order around you, if there's just shit everywhere, papers, shopping trolleys, fucking broken down cars, broken windows, people's shit hanging out of the buildings. It's just like, if you don't have any respect for yourself, then you can't have respect for your environment. So you have to create the order. Remember, act first, and then the thinking and feeling will come after. Mm. So tidy up around you. Just have an audit. Have you ever seen some of the videos that people post on social media and the kind of squalor that they're living in, but they have the temerity to like post a video about how they feel about Ukraine, for example. Mm. But in the background, they've got like a sheet tied over the window, nailed into the wall, picture that's skew, fucking mattress without any linen on it that they obviously sweat and sleep in every night, clothes lying everywhere. There was a girl I met, it's probably about 4 or 5 years ago. She was so beautiful, right? And I thought, wow, what an awesome, awesome girl. I want to get to know her. She was lovely and terrific. And I went to her house like about a month or two after we'd met, because she invited a few people around. Her house was such a fucking mess. I instantly lost interest. Mm. Mm-hmm. Just a mess. Yeah, and I'm not talking about like, you know, a little bit of, you know, maybe she, I don't know, made a sandwich or something in the kitchen and there was some breadcrumbs. I'm not talking about that. It was, there were clothes and fucking piles of shit everywhere and dust. And I was like, this is not attractive.
Mm. I've still got my wedding dress in my lounge.
Over the back of the couch.
Is it in plastic? Yeah,
it's in plastic.
You're like Mrs. Havisham from Great, what, not Great Expectations, which story is it with her?
I don't know.
I don't know. She's the woman who lives in the attic and has a... her wedding dress there on permanent display, or she wears it.
Oh, no.
That's quite a vibe, Leanne, because a couple of weeks ago you mentioned your boyfriend. So when he came around, the first thing he see was the wedding dress on the couch.
Wait, which boyfriend? I remember said dead. I slept with a lot of men. But
no, you said recently you had a boyfriend. Okay.
Oh. What?
No.
No.
No, you're imagining that, Ben.
Okay.
Must have been someone else.
All right. Carry on.
Ting-tong.
We're going back to Miss Havisham.
No, the reason it's there is because my mom moved and I need to do something with it. It was in their attic.
Okay, so it hasn't been there since you got married.
No.
If you're not in a relationship, there's an Australian grandma. I think she's of Italian ancestry, but she has some words for you. And there are a couple of words here that haven't been used in a long time. You know, we talked about the word retarded earlier, how that's back. Well, here's a word you haven't heard for a long time. Thanks to this nonna from Australia, who's actually Italian.
To your boyfriend.
Who?
You.
I don't want to talk with no one.
Oh.
I'm not a bloody dead lady.
You're going to say you're not a bitch.
Not a bitch.
You're not a bitch?
No, never.
All right. Hey, listen, never. You said to me before, right, how come I don't have a girlfriend? I'm not a what?
You're a poofter.
I'm not a poofter. Just because I don't have a girlfriend doesn't mean I'm a poofter.
No, but it's not good.
To not have a girlfriend?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, you have a nice girl.
When you die, I'll bring all the bitches home.
I'll kill you.
How are you going to kill me?
Because
you're dead.
I am dead, and I come in with the teeth out. And I,
like a vampire?
Yeah. And I'll kill you.
Yeah. Okay.
Peace out for now. Fuck off.
Who are you on the phone to, your boyfriend?
All right. I think if Leanne did have kids, she'd be that kind of grandma.
Oh, 100%.
Piss off, fuck off.
Yeah, piss off now.
Are you a poofter? But you know, Australians used to be like the toughest white people in the world because they'd traveled the furthest.
Top three, yeah.
I think they were the toughest, and not anymore. But, I mean, that grandma is like a relic of those bygone days.
It was Rhodesians, yeah. South Africans, Australians.
Yeah, I think that's about it.
That's pretty much a podium right there if you want to go tough white.
Yeah, tough white. Okay, so let's talk about a couple of things that are also happening in the news. Apparently, Elon, he's been very busy. Elon's Starlink satellites are falling to Earth at an alarming rate. This is what they're saying in the news. And there's a new Tesla phone apparently, that's on the way.
Well, they're talking about it. It's all very concept stagey right now. And it's very blue sky-ish, but I think it obviously could work. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, Starlink, so he's got internet. And if you just have a receptor to that, you can get internet anywhere.
Right.
So changing the model of how we use cell phones forever. Mm-hmm. So we have our suppliers. Like I have Vodacom, who I fight with all the time. Mm-hmm. You have whoever, wherever. But now what he's saying is just buy this phone for however many dollars, and you never need a supplier because you just connect to my satellites.
Which are falling out of the sky.
Well, that's probably a preemptive PR smear on his.
Maybe.
It depends who it's falling on. I mean, there's some people in the world.
Apparently, there are pieces that are being found, and so far they say it's just lucky that they haven't hit anyone.
I mean, there are a couple of people I'd like to see it. Massive,
because he's got out of
satellite fallout
out of 12,000 working satellites.
Yeah,
he's got 8,500.
Wow, it's a lot of coverage.
They've got a lifespan of around 5 years. They're supposed to be burning up in the atmosphere, but apparently his are falling a bit, and there are pieces being found in random areas. And it's
this is why a miracle that
no one's been.
This
hit.
Is why I still use a landline and Santaco are my service provider. You know, the taxi association.
Yeah. This would be pretty cool though if you like an oak in I don't know Fos La Rus and you've got like a LARPA,
yeah,
and you got a piece of like Starlink satellite you can put. Next to your object.
You could put that there on the shelf next to the empty bottle of Bells.
Pretty rad.
At the bar, under the
laughter. In theory, okay, so let's just say Elon's network doesn't fall from the sky. And he's got Starlink and it works, right? Because we all talk about that. So now if these phones are now connected to it, you never have to do anything other than spend money once off and then you keep going with it.
Yeah, because you don't have fees, subscriptions.
Renewals and...
And how would you
more
power
every 2 years?
Because, you know, I'm now breaking it down, but obviously there's some places where electricity is in short supply, like, I don't know, South Africa.
Well, it's a phone. You're going to have to charge a phone.
Okay, but it's not going to be solar powered.
Well, it is, but that's only going to allow for a certain amount of emergency stuff, basically. If you want to get a proper charge on, and you're living in a sad place with the sun, of course, that's
sad.
What you spoke about, then you'll have to have a charge point.
Right.
But it just makes a lot of sense. Like, for example... In my last few trips, I have a eSIM.
Oh, yeah.
So it's great. I've got this app with this company. I buy a SIM. As I get to the other side, I've got connection.
Right.
But, of course, with this thing, you never have to worry about that because as long as you're outside, you're on the network. So you can go anywhere.
It doesn't know from borders.
Mm. Absolutely anywhere. So will the phone come to fruition one day? I think the horrible truth about this is if Elon can make this, so many people are going to lose billions. So now... This is the way of the world, obviously. The assassination attempts are going to ratchet up.
Yes, for sure.
Because if he does this, we wouldn't need Vodacom. We wouldn't probably need Apple as much as we do. No. We don't need so many people fall out of the funnel of the economy suddenly if this happens. So even if it does come to a position, I don't think he'll make it because he'll be killed.
Well, there's a comment here from somebody about how he's trying to go after the woke Netflix, which we've got to talk about too, because these are also related subjects. Netflix is getting a lot of heat because they're basically trying to
woke wash the brains.
They're crowbarring
through their programming.
Yeah, they're crowbarring in a whole lot of left wing woke bullshit. You know, lots of trannies. They're trannies being squeezed into spaces
like
they weren't.
Kids programs, though.
Yeah, kids programs.
It's levels.
I mean, like, what do 6-year-olds need to know about like transgender people? They don't. They don't. They're not going to, hopefully, encounter those until they're about 18, and then they can start encountering transgender people. If they do meet them at the age of 6 or 7, the explanation must be kept simple. But they don't need to have programs where they're introduced to like open-mindedness about trannies.
It mustn't be seen as a part of life. You get to them, like when your brain is soft and malleable, you can convince someone of anything, right? And that's why they're going into the kids' shows. It's like, oh, here's your nurse at the hospital. They're transgender. So like you've gone in there with a broken arm, right?
Right.
But now it's not about getting fixed. You must now understand the person who's dealing with you. Like, screw that. It's absolute bullshit. You have fundamentals. You know, we just spoke about now with the fundamentals with Dr. Kanan. Now, if Netflix is trying to come in the mix here and trying to teach you these things as something you must know as a young age, it's going to be seep into your brain.
Yeah.
So now you
but
grow up
aren't
with this
people
nonsense.
Who are just watching Netflix growing up.
But children's it's programming. Point. Okay, so look, I don't really have an emotional investment in this at all. I just remember, and we can be nostalgic again for a couple of seconds, but kids' programs when I was a kid, they even had a part of the show which is like the moral of the story is, and this is what it is to be a good person, and this is how you make society better. You know, like
objective truth.
Follow the rules at the stop street, or be nice to old people.
So much.
Don't you remember that stuff?
We had some scary programming.
Like what?
Like wolves eating animals and grannies and.
Oh, you're talking about Little Red Riding Hood.
Like pedophiles taking children into their cottages and
they do that.
Eating them. And
they do that, though, the pedos.
What's with the eating with you?
Well, I don't know.
Cannibalism wasn't part of my upbringing.
We weren't really worried about cannibalism in my house.
Or like burning them, hurting them.
Were you even watching Vili Vali? Because I'm pretty sure
that's
no one's
just Hansel and Gretel.
Leanne.
That is Hansel and Gretel.
Burning?
Yes.
What's wrong?
Think about what about the big bad wolf that ate the grandmother?
I thought I was traumatized when I was raised with Struwwelpeter, but
our stories were fucked growing up.
I don't think they were more fucked than some of the shit that kids are watching now.
I don't know so much. Again, cousin, surgeon builds bums for babies that are born without bums.
Yes.
Builds, you know, if they need penises or a penis taken away because they've been born intersex, she makes a big living off of that every single day. She's busy fiddling with genitalia because there are children being born every day that are intersex.
People, yeah, sure. But they're a tiny minority of people. Tiny, tiny minority.
Put a roof over her head. That's how many there are, and that's in Joburg alone.
That's because she's a highly skilled person.
Here is the most important transgender story of the week. Okay, really it is. Because poor Brooke Shields is having a very hard time at the moment. Here's a picture of her and Caitlyn Jenner, and she says, "I am sick." She says, "I'm sick." There's Caitlyn Jenner, right? Show Brooke Shields. No, it's not both. Oh, Jesus, that is Brooke Shields. I just did it. I didn't realize the one on the left was Brooke Shields.
Yeah, she's on the left.
Guys, I thought that was Caitlyn as well. I thought there's another picture.
Sure, they do look very similar.
That's so unfortunate.
Oh, it's Caitlyn Jenner looks a little better in that picture.
But
shame. So Brooke Shields.
Why are you saying Brooke Shields looks terrible?
Okay, no, she doesn't look terrible.
She just looks like
Caitlyn.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
But I mean, Brooke Shields was Brooke Shields before Caitlyn was Caitlyn.
Sure, but the problem is Brooke Shields walks around now. And obviously, you know, it's not the 80s. She's not as famous as she used to be.
And people think.
And people go, oh, my God, it's Caitlyn Jenner. And she's getting sick of it. So she's posted a big disclaimer, basically, online saying, I'm not Caitlyn Jenner.
Wow.
And I just did. I promise you that was by mistake. I honestly
did you
didn't
see that Dolly Parton had to give a statement on her own TikTok account? Because there was AI going around of her on her deathbed with that other country singer Reba.
Reba McEntire.
At her bedside.
Oh, God.
And people were saying she's dying. And so Dolly Parton, if you go on her TikTok now, she's sitting in a studio like this. She was obviously busy filming.
Yeah.
And, she's just like, hey, everybody, I'm very well. I'm alive. Yeah. I had some medical conditions way back when my husband was sick and I wasn't taking care of myself. We're sorting that all out. Look at me. I'm the picture of health.
Okay, good.
But that's what this AI stuff is.
A world without Dolly is a worse world.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. She's like, if Reba was going to visit me, she would have visited me before I was in my dying days.
But that's what this AI thing has got to now. We are so fucked in so many ways. I watched this Casey Neistat video yesterday.
Yeah.
And he put it quite succinctly is that you go into that Sora app, whatever
Sora,
it is.
Sora,
And people are now just dedicating their lives watching this crap. But as we know, a lot of people are very stupid, or our parents' generation are very gullible. That stuff is now seeping out there. Like, you could have someone on their deathbed, or someone's just created a crazy bit of hate speech, or just hate crimes.
Yeah.
And they watch this and they go, oh my gosh, that's that person. And that person's now smeared forever.
Well, it's going to get better, AI, and we're going to be more and more fooled to the point where we're not going to believe anything that's on our phones, and then will we be scrolling and watching shit AI the whole time?
Well,
we
maybe,
might not. Maybe we'll go back to speaking to people.
Maybe we'll actually meet people in real life and have actual conversations.
That's what I really hope for. But again, in this video, it's like, is it getting to the point where you can then just tell Netflix, I want this show, and then the AI will make it happen? So you get, like, obviously Purvis will turn it straight into porn. Like,
yeah, of course.
So it'll be like Saving Private Ryan, cast of Baywatch Naked, go.
Yeah.
And then maybe that'll be the next thing. So ultimately, people who are obsessed with staring at stuff and don't go out and see people, they'll be worst off. I don't want to live in that world where you can see Baywatch Saving Ryan.
Well,
Private Ryan.
James managed to make a video of me down in the mines, apparently. This is the first I've seen of it. So you get to see it like I did.
Because you come from a long string of miners.
Yes, of course.
A history of mining.
Yes, mining is very big, yeah. Let's take a look. It's made
down
in 5 seconds.
Down in the mines.
So you can do this. So Sora is the one where you make videos. There's also the stuff, like we played that clip that Gord made, that song that he wrote effectively about me, which also took him 2 minutes on AI. You can generate pretty much anything you want now. Mm. If you need to, I don't know, show the Empire State Building collapsing in on itself, it takes 5 seconds to do this shit.
I mean, can you imagine... I'm just thinking of a group of very stupid people. So I'm thinking of...
Majority of
us.
I'm thinking of, like, staunch MAGA supporters in the middle of Norway.
As in, like, Trump fans?
Yes.
Okay.
Who, I'm just thinking of, yeah.
Okay.
Who don't know what's going on in the world, who would not be able to differentiate between AI and not.
All the MAGA fans who watch us, just, you know, this is why we have Leanne, to counterbalance you know. Don't get cross with her. Okay, so what are they doing?
I'm just imagining, I'm taking a group of people like that. Can you imagine how easily they would be influenced by a bunch of good AI?
Yes. But similarly,
and create absolute mass hysteria.
You went to America, and people who probably have access to technology and education. Imagine in rural Afghanistan what the impact of this will be. Because
it could create absolute mass hysteria.
There you might not have, you know, internet to the degree that we have. And you might just believe everything because that's how you were raised. Like, if you see it with your eyes, it's true.
Yeah, but that's just it. I mean, you can have... guys who don't watch a lot of TV, and the ones that they do watch quite bad TV, if that.
Yeah.
You can have Donald Trump interfering with a goat.
Yes.
And then suddenly propaganda on that little hook can get people fired up.
They've already tried this, and you know that it's been – I suppose that there are deep fakes everywhere already. Yeah. You've got famous actors and actresses who they can make these tremendous convincing videos of where they – sponsoring or promoting or influencing for a product that you think, why would they be doing this? And it turns out it is fake, but you have to dig a little. And the same goes for fake news. I've always said, don't worry about fake news. Don't worry about fake AI. There's always going to be someone trying to bullshit you. Nigerian scammers, these people who phone you from an insurance company every other day, they're all doing the same thing. There's no difference. The prince who desperately needs to transfer his offshore wealth to your account and just give him your banking details and he'll send you – you can get commission of like $5 million. That's no different to, I watched a video and I believe it's true. There are gullible, credulous, stupid people.
Yep.
And some of them who are not stupid. They just – it's too good to be true and they want it to be true so badly that – they believe it because they maybe have a hopeless life. Well, that's going to happen.
Yeah, the hopeless life thing is a good start point for how dangerous this is. So, I mean, I got two more things I want to add about this. Okay, so we know that pornography basically fries the brains of young people, right?
Yeah.
It's too much to take in, too much to comprehend, too much stimulation. So now we've gone from watching people create real things on social media, or it was like text. Then it was pictures, and then it was video. Then it was TikTok, which is visual crack.
Yes.
And now we've got even further with the sort of thing of the unimaginable now imaginable.
Yeah.
So our brains are now really teetering on the edge of what can they actually keep taking.
So are you suggesting that this could be, and invariably you're not wrong about it being used first for evil or crack, you know, to get people addicted. Are you suggesting that this use of AI will immediately render people who you can't have, you can't see, you can't be with being available to you?
Too much access to too many things. It'll make you, it overloads your system, no doubt.
Not only that, it changes the way you think. If you think about, I always think of the example of going from analog to digital before we even think about AI. And growing up, but being at the SABC from such a young age and editing things reel to reel,
mm-hmm.
playing a record to get the roar of a lion, playing a tape to record a squeaky door.
You had to work hard for this stuff.
And the type of imagination that goes into that, to then digital, to then animation, studying animation and thinking, I want this to move like that, but how am I going to do it? Well, I've got to put points on either side.
Yeah, you work for it.
Mathematically get those points. You work for it. And now, how do you make this animated, you'll say to someone, and they say, you just use AI. What sort of mush is going on in their brain?
So, Leanne, this is exactly the video I was talking about with Casey Neistat. He talks about life being a funnel. And to create content and create these things, there used to be so many different things you could try to put into it, but the funnel was small.
Mm.
Now the funnel is so huge, you put one thing into it, and the bottom basically just comes this endless slop that's now in our brains.
Wishy peas.
So now what happens is that then translates into what our brains become, which is slop, and that's how we get completely controlled. So it's very, very worrying. As a content creator, I look at this and I go, I'd rather double down the other way. I don't want to learn these things, quite frankly. Yes, it all looks slick and all that kind of shit. No, I actually want to film more on my phone now because it looks real. Like, it's not too perfect. It's not too fantastic. I want to do more of that. But final thing I want to say about this is that MIT have run a study on all these things.
Oh, yeah?
So all these people who want to get online and they want to be do-gooders and they want to do all this shit and save the earth, if for every 5-second video that Sora or AI creates, it's the equivalent of running a microwave for an hour.
Hmm.
1 hour. So if you were to run, if someone came to your house and ran your microwave for 8 hours flat, you'd be a bit pissed off, right?
Yeah.
Especially if you saw what came out of it. Some stupid little...
Just wasting electricity. Yeah. It's a big drain on the earth. But that's an hour.
That's incredible.
What a five... That video that James made of you down in the mines, that's a microwave on for an hour.
And it was shit.
But this is the thing. And people are just consuming this over and over and over. Now they're going to be creating it over and over and over. So... there's so many factors to this that I just do not think is good. What is the thing? Oh, it's entertaining. We don't need to be entertained as humans. We need to build. We need to connect. We need to fucking be decent things.
That in itself should be entertaining.
That
should be entertaining
enough.
That
should be the stimulation.
Our brains are now becoming...
I mean, it's something you notice that, like, traveling over the years of how people engage with themselves. And this chatter, airports are a great, like, study of this.
Mm.
The more and more times you just see people on their phones in the airports,
in groups,
nothing. They're just on their phones. I get it. Airports trying to kill time, that kind of stuff. But you physically notice less people talk to each other. Airports are a great place to talk to each other about where you're going, where you've been, mm-hmm. all these different things. People watching.
So many
watching.
New things to see.
So many new things. It's such a tactile place. And all you see is people on their phones like this.
My least favorite thing is when you go to an event that people have paid to be at. I was at one on Saturday last week, and they're on their phones uploading shit to people who are not there. You know, you're there to enjoy it with the people you're there with, and you're busy posting shit on Instagram for people who are not there to see you doing the things that you want them to think you're having fun at, but you're not. You're busy sending shit to
them.
You're
sending shit, but also you're watching everything that's happening around you through your phone.
Oy.
So you're getting as
Why
much
bother?
Pleasure as a person
just
who's just at home.
Just stay at home. Stay in bed, doom scroll, watch other people's stuff, and you can live vicariously through them. You don't have to get dressed. You don't have to put on your clothes, look good. Make an effort, have conversations, walk a little bit, get some exercise. Now, why bother with that? Just lie in bed and be an organism that just absorbs. I do agree with what Ben said just now. Like, enough with entertaining ourselves. I think we've almost reached a point where, and you can see it in the movie business, people are just falling off. The movies are not what they used to be. No one's excited about the... Apparently there's an Avatar 27 or something coming out now. I don't know how many Avatars James Cameron has made. I remember the first one, but apparently they're on to...
I think
like,
there was two.
I remember two.
I don't know. Apparently they're a whole bunch. So movies are not a thing. Music, we talked about Taylor Swift earlier on, her new album, which people are saying is like porridge, unless you're a Swiftie, in which case you'll eat up anything she throws at you. What else is it? Video games. It's like they're all so real. Mm. How much more real do you want them to be?
Yeah, and our attention spans are getting shorter.
Enough entertainment. Like, actually, what are you doing that is productive? What are you doing that's making?
Building you, creating
really
better for you.
I really think like the most valuable people are the ones who can fix shit, build shit.
Listen, prison.
What?
Prison. Just think of what people are doing there. Ideally, you should not have a phone and should not be watching TV all day. But there, if it's a well-run prison, you're going to be building shit. You're going to be going to classes. You're going to be sewing stuff.
What prison are you talking about?
Rehabilitative prisons.
That's what prisons should be.
What prisons should
be. I agree with you, but they aren't.
And there you...
Mostly they're people on their phones.
You're not allowed phones.
Oh, they
I saw videos of PlayStations, TVs.
Yeah.
I mean, I think nowadays prisoners, first thing they ask is what the Wi-Fi code is.
Dear Linda says, I'm against this out-of-control technology. I'm stuck in the old times. I keep saying nothing is wrong with those times. A much more beautiful, meaningful life. Maybe. Ben is sounding more and more like an old man complaining about technology, says Carl.
But Carl, it's not complaining. It's like if you join the dots of like, it's fucking people up. That's not complaining. If you want to turn a blind eye to that, then go for it.
Veronica reckons I'm addicted to promoting AI-generated garbage. I am? Am I trying to...
See, look how old it is to become so dull with all this stuff. They now say stupid things, doesn't make sense.
Chris says, in the playground, this is scary. Kids stand right next to each other and they text each other rather than speak to each other.
Fucked.
Wow, that's horrific. I do think there's something especially sad about like a couple, especially if they're a young couple and they're out for dinner or something, and they're sitting there on their phones with each other instead of talking to each other. Like how bored you must be that whatever it is that's on that screen is more important than the person you're with.
Yeah, but you could say that of any age or era. You think of the couples sitting in a coffee shop, both reading a newspaper and not speaking to each other.
I don't know that people would get away with ignoring each other like that. If two people were actually reading, like if you're on the beach or you're on holiday, but if you have decided to go out to a place with somebody, surely that person that you're with should be at least half of your attention.
Yeah.
It's not too much to ask. I don't know why it's difficult for people to just carve off a little bit of time to not think about themselves and entertaining themselves. I think that's the valuable thing that Ben said just now. All right, couple of things. And by the way, we spoke about Taylor Swift a second ago. One of the really big Swifties is Ryan. Producer Ryan, who's coming in, he's a big Swiftie. Oh, so we'll have to lobotomize him on his way out. And he's also going to be emceeing a friend of his wedding, so he wants some tips on that too. So start thinking about that, Leanne and Ben.
Can we just, before
admit
I go...
to being a Swiftie is a good start.
Oh, you're just going to get up and walk out like you do every week? Yeah,
I'm about to.
Yeah.
But before I do, James, can we not see the clip of the Oregon woman and her hobby? Because, I mean, this is someone who's using her time wisely.
Okay. Let's take a look.
Looking at things beyond her phone.
She's in Oregon, though, so is she making, like, dream catches and shit?
Well, I mean, let's see. Do you have them?
Because she's obviously very left-wing if she's in Oregon, because that's the most left-wing state in America. So is she...
Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, Portland, Oregon. Is she doing, like, yoga classes?
Well, look, anything's better than not being able to... You know, do normal things.
Anything's
better
than like
about.
Just sitting generating AI videos on your phone.
Yes.
Okay. Which I can't believe Ben says an hour in the microwave is
All of those servers, all of those things, it's like, there was another stat that I heard the other day. It's like, you know, data center capture,
yes,
it's a big business, right, for good reason. AI apparently is like 60% of what that business is already.
Really? And that's the processing power, the storage, everything.
Yeah. Just so we can watch Pikachu having a fist fight with Rambo, because that's what we fucking need to see in life.
Pikachu.
Oh, this couch gets moving every week.
What is wrong with you? Can you not find a comfortable position on that thing?
Well, you look at me on the screen here, right?
Yeah.
I'm like...
You look like, yeah, you look like you've...
It's like the
but
angles,
it's that cushion behind
like
you.
Take
it away.
Too tight.
But actually, it's perfect for me. This,
I'm glad you're happy,
Leanne. It's not too deep.
Yeah, you see, that's better, Ben. You just need to sit on your ass instead of your back. Fucking orangutan.
Fuck, I don't know.
Oh, wow.
So, this is
the
wholesome.
What is that?
Hobbying.
What is that? Dressing up a...
So, this is Trudy. She is made from a vintage fox stole. So I haven't really made too many of the fox ones because their pelts tend to rip. So she is just a few that actually made it to a character. I will show you just a regular size mink next to her so you can actually see how tall she is. Anyways, there's Trudy.
You know, is that better than creating AI videos? It's very creative.
I think it's more creepy. Was she the one
it's
who got
totally
the,
creepy.
Is she the one who got the contract to make the creepy Burger King?
Maybe.
King?
But reading the comments, and it was so true. When I said I don't care what happens to me after I die, I need to maybe go back and stipulate what can and can't happen.
So she takes first stoles and...
Foxes.
Right, and then
minxes,
she dresses them minx. Up in those shitty outfits.
And then, yeah, you can. I went down a rabbit hole because well, then she's got walls and walls of them.
And you could buy them?
Yeah.
So she thinks, that, well, look, there probably are people. She sells those to people who want to display them in their house, like Susie.
That's her life. She's not watching AI or burning microwaves for an hour.
Okay, fair enough.
She's being resourceful and non-wasteful.
Who the fuck would sit on a cushion, Ben, says Slippery Pickle. Do you want hip issues like Leanne?
Guys, I come on the show. The microphone's in front of the couch. The couch is where I sit. I sit down. What must I do? Bring the show to a stop so we can just set design?
The amount of water and electricity it takes to cool down AI facilities is apparently insane, according to Veronica. Yeah, the cooling is a big part of that.
Mm.
Part of the reason they... I mean, these server farms... whatever they're called, data centers, they need to be kept at like 10 degrees. So it's a big fridge. Otherwise, the processors get too hot and they melt down and it's all very, very expensive.
Sounds like a place I just don't want to live in.
What, at 10 degrees? I think that sounds great.
No, where these facilities, where these...
Oh, but they're all over this country too.
Exactly.
They've got a bunch of them here in Midrand and in the Western Cape. And they're building them everywhere. Google, cloud server, data centers. And where Ryan is now in Ireland, they have them too.
Well, that's the sort of catch-22 with places like Google, right? They want to be seen as net zero, but they also have to be part of the AI race.
Yeah, so exactly.
All their carbon, this, are now completely screwed.
But they're lucky because Greta Thunberg's not on their case anymore. She's bored of the climate change, you know, global warming stuff. She's now on to Palestine. And now because the war's over, because Trump has negotiated this peace deal, she's going to have to find something new. Well, what's the next course?
She might go off to Russia or something.
Well, maybe Ukraine. Yeah, maybe that's her next one. I think we touched on one of these things just now. She should look at population replacement.
Why doesn't Greta look into those grooming farms that have been happening for quite some time in England with young girls going missing?
The gang rapes,
have a stab at that, you piece of shit. Because I mean, she never does anything of substance, really. It's the low hanging fruit, the easy stuff. Oh, look at me, I'm getting arrested because I'm at a wind farm. Shut up.
Tokoloshes, maybe.
Dirt.
Yeah, maybe
a Tokolosh is a that's a cause that needs a champion. The anti Tokolosh crusade,
yeah,
with Greta Thunberg. How dare you, Tokolosh? Leave those people alone. Their bed is on bricks. You're not allowed to bother them.
It's just a really bad movie, and she's just a turd.
She's such a turd.
It's just it. No. It's nothing more.
All right. Leanne, I know you need to just walk through the shot like she does every week. People love this. Look how. No, keep the camera on her so we can watch her fuck off in slow mo.
No, you said you were going to take a break.
No. Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, Leanne.
I do love the way she just walks out of here. All right, we are going to take a break. When we come back, we'll get to some sport. Ryan is going to be with us all the way from Ireland. We'll find out what he's been up to and a whole lot more. Have an awesome start to your weekend. If you haven't started already, start it with us. That's where we're going to be, right here. Don't go anywhere.